Man, I crazy thing. We scheduled like months ago that I was going to take my my kids. So I've got a 6, a 4, and a 2-year-old. And we're going to meet up with my brother and sister-in-law over in Indy. And we went snow tubing yesterday. Yesterday, wearing jeans and a long sleeve t-shirt, I'm going 40 miles an hour down an ice tube with my 2-year-old. And I was expecting him to just go crazy. And he just looked at me the whole way down. And I was like, this is awesome! Taking slow-mo videos with my iPhone and, you know, doing the whole thing. And he had fun, but it was so great that it was as warm as it was. But so how many of you are slightly aware of the political thing that's going on right now in Iowa? Like 3 of you? Cool. 7 of you. Awesome. All right. I'm not going to talk about politics long because, wow, that just sounds horrible. But man, this time in the whole election cycle that's coming up right now always just frustrates me a little bit, because for this one day, the whole country looks at the state of Iowa, and not even the whole state, like a few thousand people move into different corners of a room, and they make national and international news. And the crazy thing is that tonight, if you were to go on to all the news channels right now as we're sitting here, they are talking about the broadly Christian base. I don't even know what that means. But they basically tonight are generalizing Jesus people and how they're going to vote. And I always, when I hear that stuff, I just think, man, that is such a small, narrow view of what being a Jesus person is really all about. And that's just not, and I get like that. Okay, can I just, that's how I feel. It's like emotionally constipated. I don't know what to do, but I'm just, that is so off. And I just, it makes me think of all the times in the red letters of the Gospels where Jesus comes on the scene and he's like, oh, that's what you think God is like? Oh, you're missing it. You're missing it. And for the last, this whole semester, we've started talking about this stuff that shows up in Leviticus, the moment that God says, hey, you are my people, and he chooses these people, and he gets them out of Egypt, and they get on the other side, and Pete chose the book of Leviticus. Now, when he told me a few months ago that I was going to get to speak on Leviticus, I was like, bro, wow. Dude, like, I like train teachers, and I like speak at like corporate events, and like I'm here just to help people figure out their calling in life. Like Leviticus, thanks, Pete. I've been following you for years, but I'm thinking about giving it up. So it was hard. It was hard, but today Ben gave me permission to like not care about what Pete asked me to do. And but no, I'm going to, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about this stuff, and Pete started off week one. Do you guys remember what he said? I'm going to go flip chart. Is that cool? I'm going to draw stuff. It's going to get crazy. I'm going to write things. I might draw stick figures. It's going to be exciting, all right? Do you remember week one what he said? He said, over here we've got God with a 6. Wow, that was cool. This is what happens when I start. And then we've got us, and there's a line. Remember when he drew a line? That was such typical Pete fashion. Just no one says anything, and Pete's just drawing a line, right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, so Pete. All right, so, and that night he said, man, you may not know this, but in that time and today, it's as true as it was at creation as it was at the time when he rescued him out of Egypt. God said, hey, if you didn't catch the memo yet, I am on your side. Wow, I didn't put enough blanks. That's so funny. He's on our side. Now, that may come as a surprise to some people. Isn't that awesome? I should be a teacher. Oh, wait, I already quit that career. So, But anyway, that night he said, hey, God is on our side. And that was, I loved when he was talking about that, because the goofy thing is, just like what's going on with the caucuses and stuff right now, people are saying things that they think Christians are about. And at the end of the day, some people have thought for a long time that God isn't on our side. And people have struggled and doubted, even people who've been following Jesus for a while, sometimes they feel like, if he's on my side, it doesn't really feel like it right now. And then we started getting in and talking about some other things. And I love it because it started making me think, let's see if I can do this. Oh, that's good. That's a blank page. Cool. It made me start thinking, if any of you have ever hung out with me for, like, you know, at the Coffee Hound for an hour or so, you're going to hear me mention this phrase, God's economy, like 3 or 4 times. It's just something that I just love seeing around in the world. And when we started talking about God being on our side, maybe that was something new, because the way I define God's economy is all of those times in the New Testament, specifically when we get into Matthew and he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says all of these statements like, hey, you have heard it said to do this, talking about all the ancient Jewish customs and all that kind of stuff, but I say this. So what's crazy, when Pete talked about that that God is on our side, he was talking about the moment when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and he said, hey, you were going to be my people, and here, just like, do this stuff, and I've made a plan for us to be together on this thing and to do life together. And here's the goofy thing that started happening. Fast forward to the time of Jesus. They took 10 commandments, and I wrote this down because I thought this was crazy, and they added 238 more of them. So 248 total commandments by the time Jesus shows up on the scene, with an additional 365 provisions, which says to me, like, workarounds to kind of make those rules and those things kind of fit, because we don't want to. And I'm thinking, wow. Jesus shows up and he goes, God was saying he's on our side, and now we've taken it to this, all these laws and all this stuff that has just become more judgment and more weight and less about freedom and life that he had come and that he was giving. And so God's economy is, you have heard it said, but I say. And so much of the world says, man, God is against you. Like, God is against you. And the first week we said, but I say, I'm on your, wow, that's really messy, side. That really, like, bounces. That's cool. And then the next week, just last week, we said, you've heard it said that God wants your percentage, or God wants a certain amount. But Phil did a great job reminding us that God wants your firsts. And this is God's economy. He wants our first. And then how many of you females went on the ladies' retreat this weekend? Man, that's awesome. That's cool. From what I hear, it was an awesome time talking about brokenness and talking about some hard stuff. And you have probably heard it said out in the world that, hey, where is God when the crap hits the fan? Where is God when bad things happen to good people? And hopefully after that, your time this weekend, you realize that God does some of his best stuff in redeeming brokenness. Did y'all hear that this weekend? God does some of his greatest work with just the littlest stuff and the hardest things. He takes that and he redeems it into something great. That's God's economy. Men, how many of you went on the guys' retreat? Cool. Not even a woo? Like a who? Some, okay. Heard some, like, woo for the ladies, and just like, apparently we need to work on the programming for the guys' retreat. Okay, so, man, but you were talking about, you have probably heard it said that, man, following Jesus and this whole Christianity thing, it's boring. And it's just a checklist of do the right things. It's a bunch of sin management. It's about going to church and reading your Bible and praying every day. And, you know, someday when you grow up, helping out in children's church. Woo! Yeah, that sounds awesome. Sign me up for that, right? No, we talked about that it is an adventure, that God is calling us to live lives on purpose. And tonight we're going to talk about one more thing in God's economy that I just love to talk about. And I call it God's economy because when you follow the way the world works, stuff just doesn't work very well. But when you look at the way God does his stuff, it doesn't make sense, but it always works out in our favor. And those magical things like women getting ready quicker in the morning start to happen, like Phil talked about. Miracles, right? Start to happen. And so today, we're going to talk about, you have heard it probably said once or twice, that work is bad. That work is bad. And some of you are all excited about pushing to graduation so that you can get the degree that you didn't really want, but those are all the credits that you could get so you could finally get a degree and then you can get a job that you actually want. Anyone there? Okay. Sometimes you're just ready to get across that stage so you can go get a job and so you can get your 40 years in and so you can move to Florida and play bocce ball. And that is what you are being sold. I got high fives right here. Wow. That is what you are being sold. And all of a sudden, work gets demonized, and work is a bad thing, and work is something that came as a result of the fall. Well, we're going to talk about something different tonight. You've also sometimes heard that rest is a bad thing. The last time I got to speak to you guys, we talked about busyness. And a lot of people just say, you got to go, go, go. You got to make it rain. You got to do your thing. You got to work, work, work all day long. You got to do it. And there's no time to rest. Rest is for the something. Wicked? I don't know. Weary? I don't know. Something. But it's bad sometimes. It gets painted that way out in the world. Today we're going to talk about if there was a rhythm of giving your firsts. There's a rhythm. Talk about a hard word to spell. Who made this one up? Right? What? There should be a vowel there. I swear there should be. But there's a rhythm of work and rest. And so we're going to talk about God's economy in that. And the best way I have to describe that is to tell a story about a GMC Acadia. Do any of you know what a GMC Acadia is? It's something that moms drive to get their children to, is there somebody here who has one? I'm so sorry. Well, awkward. That's awesome. Last week I told a story about a house and I made fun of it and it turned out to be someone's. It was great. I have a tendency to do that. So a GMC Acadia, let me just tell you this story. It was September 13th. It was a Friday the 13th, 2013. My wife was great with child. You following me? She was rather large. She was ready. And so this is our third kid. It was old hat. It was like, we know how to do this stuff. We've already been to the emergency room. First time we went there a couple of times too soon. Next time we got it right on the dot. This time we're going to nail this thing. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so I'm sitting doing a discipleship meeting one-on-one with former student Josh Weingart at the Medici outside Upper Terrace, which I totally should have gone to today. It was 60 degrees. And we're sitting there, we're doing our thing, and I get the call. And it's my wife. She said, hey, just letting you know, contractions have started. No, like, don't need to do anything yet. But it's just be ready. Cool. You got this, babe. Just you let me know. You say the word. I'm there. And so I go about doing my thing, just kind of a little more, like, aware. Ringers on, because I always have it off. Ringers on. Okay, I'm going to do this. And so I go from that meeting to my next one. We had just bought a boat, and we were trying to get all the paperwork figured out with the people we bought the boat with. And so I was meeting them. And all of a sudden, I get the next phone call, and it's, Robbie, I think it's time. I'm not getting too graphic, am I? Do you guys see where I'm going here? Remember, GMC Acadia. A great vehicle for moms and college students, okay? So, turns out, who knew? So I'm like, okay, so I'm wrapping stuff up. Hey, well, let's just figure this out later. Cool, got to take off ahead. I'm heading down Tawanda Barnes Avenue from Eastview, and my wife's coming from ISU. She works here on campus. Turns out her secretary and her students told her to leave because she was like, oh, I'm fine. Can you imagine? So my wife's an audiologist, so there's a clinic here at ISU where she's an ear doctor, and she supervises students who are learning how to be an ear doctor, and there's a patient, and so can you just imagine you're like in a booth, one or two, And then you just see this woman in the corner. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. That's what's happening. To the point where the student goes and gets another adult and is like, no, seriously, get her out of here. So they push her out the door. It gets to the point where it's so bad, the contractions, she can't walk to her car. So her secretary is walking her to the parking lot, which you know at ISU, parking is right next to the building, right? No, it's like 3 blocks away. Can you imagine seeing that when you're just like, I'm just going to go get a gondola. That lady's having a baby, you know? That's happening. And so she gets in the vehicle. She's calling me. I'm on my way home. We're going to meet out at our house. So we live out in the Downs area. And so we're going to meet out at my house. Now, here's where we made maybe a slight mistake. Our first two children we had at Carl Hospital in Champaign, Illinois. The east side of Champaign, Illinois, in Urbana, in fact, which is further than Champaign from Bloomington. The smart decision at this point in time would be like, you know, babe, our insurance is good. The state's broke, but we got insurance. So we should go to Broman or St. Joe or any other thing. But no, she's like, no, I think let's just, you know, we've had them all, their doctors there, and we know everything. So we're going to go to Champaign. I was like, okay, we're doing this? Okay, we're doing this. So sure enough, we get in our GMC Acadia. And in case you were wondering, yes, it can sustain speeds of 90 to 100 miles an hour. And so I remember getting to the corner of 150 and 200 Barnes. I'm like, babe, this is the last chance. Are we gonna go, or are we gonna just like, you know, cut our losses and go have our baby safely over here? And she's like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm like, sure. So at that point in time, guys, little note here, do what she says. Okay. And so I do what she says, and we head, and all of a sudden I'm on the interstate, and it's getting, I'm not going to get graphic, but you know what I'm saying? It's getting real, people, okay? And so I'll never forget the sounds coming out of her mouth when we got to Muhammad, okay? Muhammad, whenever I pass Muhammad on 74 from now on, it is just not the same experience for me, okay? So I am just like, flooring it. I'm going 90 to 100 miles an hour. And when you're going that fast, you're drawing some attention. So when you're going that fast, people are looking like, what's going on? Oh, you know, they're seeing what's happening. Because my wife's holding the oh crap bar and like the face and the, it's like they could hear. All right. So we're heading. And once we get to Muhammad, like the noises that were coming. Oh, wow. I was like, I've watched this happen 2 times before, but do not make me deliver a baby in the GMC Acadia. And so I'm all of a sudden, I'm at 100 to 110, and all of a sudden I pass a conservation police officer, okay? So I don't know what's about to happen here, but I know what's about to happen here. I'm still going, regardless of what he's about to do. And so I pass the conservation police officer, and I think he got a clue of what was happening by seeing the oh crap bar, okay? He probably heard it. It was like a siren, okay? And so we're going. All of a sudden, he pulls in behind me, and he turns on his lights, and he's not pulling me over. He keeps his distance, but he's like, I know where you're going, bro. I'm with you. And so we just hightail it all the way to Urbana. I get off. All of a sudden, it's not just speeds of 110. All of a sudden, the GMC Acadia's got get up and go because I am passing. There are 2 lanes of traffic here, 2 lanes of traffic coming the other way, and I'm just like, I'm going over in the other lanes, passing things, trying to get through the rural, like the city streets of Urbana to get to the hospital. Let's just say this. My son Graham was born 7 minutes from the time that we hit the emergency room doors. We made it, okay? So, I tell you that story partly to redeem my handwriting and partly to make this illustration. So, GMC Acadias, like I said, great college vehicles or mom vehicles, like most modern vehicles, are made with a certain area that is known as its sweet spot. So I'm not a car guy. I'm not an automotive guy. I'm so dependent on other people to help me. I'm just like, change the oil when the sticker says, rotate the tires. Something smells, and I make cool noises when I'm trying to describe what's going on. Okay, that's the extent to my automotive prowess, okay? So don't think too much here, but I learned that there's this word called a tachometer. Tachometer? I don't know. I think it's tachometer, okay? And it is the little thing on your dashboard that measures your RPM, okay? Now when I was moving past Muhammad, okay, we normally stay in kind of this zone. I was over here. Okay? And when I had to pass someone in the bonus lane, I'm figuring out how much this vehicle really has to offer, okay? Now I tell you this story. Why am I telling you this story? Oh, yes, because this is really the way that God has wired us as human beings as well. He's the creator, just like there's a designer and a creator for the GMC Acadia and all other vehicles that are out there. And there's sort of this optimal sweet spot, right? That's kind of like right here, okay? And it's really the spot where the engine is tuned and built to run best. It's the spot where it kind of says, hey, 65, 70 miles an hour on the interstate is really kind of the speed limit. What we're, you know, then that's kind of 75, 80, right? Okay. And so that's really kind of in here. And usually it's, you know, the 45. And most of our driving and the heavy use on the vehicle and on that engine is kind of in this spot. And so it's made for optimal performance in this zone, okay? Now, the same is true for us. God has created a rhythm that is best for us to live in. Now, he also has kind of this tachometer for us in a way for us to kind of gauge. And I've got, just to kind of keep it true to form, I would call zero, I'm gonna call that Cheeto fingers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anyone ever eaten Cheetos? Anyone feel like you're eating your fingers after you eat Cheetos? Yes, okay. So then over here, we've got crowbars, okay? Now, Cheeto fingers. Let's talk about Cheeto fingers. Similar experience driving down the interstate. Any of you from north of I-80 up in the Chicagoland, Burbs area, like all of you? Yeah. Okay, so 355, bane of my existence, okay? 355 is this big loop that goes around. It's a tollway, I think. It costs money. And my dad, when I was in college, told me, hey, just go the flow of traffic. Now, I was dating this girl. I was 19 years old, and I fell in love. And I was doing school here, being a part of Encounter, and she was up school up north in a burb. We met here in town. We went to high school together. And so we were having this long-distance relationship. Now, that was before cell phones were really, you know, we had to wait for night and weekend minutes to hit because we just didn't have a whole lot. There was no texting. There wasn't as much social media stuff going on. There was AOL Instant Messenger where you'd like, you just sit there and stare at it. Please write back. Please write back. Please write back. It's open. You know that? Do you remember that? Or you were probably like four, okay? But anyway, so it would open up and my heart would flutter like, oh, she's online! When really she just logged into her computer, you know, or her roommate did. Anyway, so I was really longing to see her, and so her father let me borrow the car to take her sister, who was a little bit younger, up to go and hang out with her one night. And so I'm driving the Volvo. Is that an adult car? No? Okay. Driving the Volvo up 355, and all of a sudden, I'm doing exactly what my dad told me to do. I'm going the flow of traffic, and then I get pulled over with 20 of my closest friends in cars. A whole just wave of police cars just comes and pulls the whole thing over. And I get my second ticket in 2 years, which meant that I was about to have my license suspended and revoked for my summer. Woo! And then to top it all off, soon after that, she broke up with me. This is where Cheeto fingers comes in handy. When you get broken up with by a girl that you're really in love with and you lose your license, you eat a lot of Cheetos in your parents' basement. That's where I was around June of that year. couldn't drive anywhere, couldn't get the job that I wanted over the summer. I had to give that up, and she had just broken up with me. And so I just spent a lot of time with Cheetos on the couch in my parents' basement. That is what we call a zero. Okay? You with me? Have any of you ever been here? Okay, maybe it's Cool Ranch Dorito fingers. I'm not sure what it is for you. Ho-ho fingers. It's here, okay? It's down there. It's not a good place to be. I was doing next to nothing with my life. I had some gifts, talents, and abilities that I weren't even using. I had friends that I wasn't hanging out with. I was basically eating, sleeping, and then sleeping some more in between my Cheetos. Thank goodness that friends came and took me away from there and got me something to do. Now, on the other side, we've got crowbars. And to help illustrate crowbars, I asked, do any of you know Kaylee Blakely? Yeah? Okay. She's not here tonight, but she put together a video kind of telling her story about crowbars. Let me move my giant, awesome drawings, and then, guys, you can go ahead and push play on that. All right. So hopefully you're starting to see the difference here. Just as it is with giving of your time and your treasures, God has a plan. And his economy is different than what the world says. The world says that work is bad. And that's just something that we have to do in order to do the things that we really want to do. And I think that we're selling work short. A lot of people say that rest is bad and that we have to go, 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 and that busyness is the pinnacle of our culture. You have heard it said. But God says, work and rest. Work and rest. Both of those two things were present before the fall. Genesis 1 and 2 tells the story of God creating 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And then all throughout the rest of those books of Genesis and the 5 books of the Torah, it is just the theme that is in almost every other chapter is work and Sabbath, rest. Work and rest. This is God's economy. This is God's equation. This is how the designer, the creator of our lives, of our bodies, intended it to be. Just like the GMC Acadia, we've got a sweet spot. And sometimes there's just enough horsepower for us to redline it when we really need to. You know, 7 minutes was not a lot of time, but I'm glad that it could sustain speeds. But Cheeto fingers, I'm guessing some of you have experienced this. You've hit some low spots. And y'all, winter is notorious for low spots. Winter is hard. We get little days like we've had this weekend and we're like, life exists! But most of the time, winter is gray and windy and we're going, what am I doing here? What's the point? And sadly, some of the things, just like some of the stuff that's going out on the news right now that is said of our generation, is said that we are entitled, that we're indifferent, that we have learned that by playing helpless, someone else will solve our problems for us, and we just need to sit. Sometimes people have gotten a very clear direction of what they're supposed to be doing with their lives, and then they just, it's hard. And they cop out and they say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And we wrap some Christianese around it. And we just eat our Cheetos and turn on Netflix. And in the absence of meaning, man distracts himself with the pursuit of pleasure. Maybe some of you are down here and you're struggling. I just want you to know that's not how you're wired. That's not the intent. You are meant to go. You are meant to move. You're even built with some capacity to redline it a little bit. This is where you're meant to be. Now, you have also heard it said that over here that You gotta go, go, go. And that when doors aren't opening, you bust out crowbars and you force them open and you make stuff happen. And you can do this with good things. Some of you who know Kaylee, we were at the beginning of the semester, we were going, girl, student teaching, running the after school program, leading a small group. Oh, and there's construction by Lincoln, and so you're going to do that commute like 3 or 4 times a week? Girl, you cannot do this. That is not sustainable. I can do it. I can do it. No, you can't. I can do it. I can crowbar. I can make this happen. These are good things. Pneumonia. Broken relationships. Not very effective or good in any of the things that she says she's doing. This is against God's design. He has given us capacity to redline it when we need to. This is to pick cars up off of our children, to get our wife to the hospital, to do some great things, but this is not a sustainable pace. And for some reason, the world has been buying the lie that busyness is the ultimate sign of a life of meaning and a life that matters. That is a lie. That is a lie. There is a sweet spot. And this sweet spot is found in knowing who we are and knowing our calling. What's the need in the world that I'm best suited to meet? People think that a life of happiness and contentment and on purpose is one where it's all about me and it's all about my happiness. And yet people pursue those things. And some of the best passages in Scripture talk about this chasing after the wind. Have you guys ever chased the wind? Any of you ever caught it? Just keeps going. And that's kind of what a lot of people get caught up in. No, there is something that you were wired for. The GMC Acadia, no offense to the person who drives one here, is designed to take my 3 children to childcare. Is designed for car seats and pack and plays. Is designed with that intent. And there's airbags all over the place and a DVD player for Dora. Okay, that's what it is designed for. And our Creator has designed each and every one of you with that same purpose. Maybe some of you are eating Cheetos. Maybe some of you are trying to do more than you're outside of God's rhythm. The cool thing is that it's not just all over the Bible, it's all over nature. Forest fires are a really horrible thing. But sometimes everything's got to come down so new life can come back up. You see it all over. Even I go to Gold's Gym, and I'm the guy who's there, and I have different goals than some of the other people that do. Any of you experience gym culture? Whew, man, there is some stuff going on there. Like, sociology majors, I dare you, go. And, like, if you're looking, like, I just don't know what to do my research paper on, the gym. Or the mall, there's okay. But at the gym, there's, like, There are some ladies that are just like just flat out larger than me and just can just wow, and they got their ears in, and man, I was there this one day and this girl was just like F bomb, just like I was like wow, but she wasn't saying you know okay, and it's like wow that is intense. And I remember I sat down, I had to do like this intro thing with the trainer, like, so what are your goals? And they're probably you want me to use words like delts and biceps and lose weight. And I was like, hey, man, real simple goal. I've got 3 kids. I hope they get married and have kids, and I want to dance at their kids' weddings. He was like, what? I'm not looking to be like, like, no, I just, like, when I'm 80, I want to be able to dance with my granddaughter at her wedding. That's it. Okay, so I'm just looking to get in here. And they didn't know what to do that. It was outside of the realm of what was going on. I'm not meant to be a weightlifter. That's not what I'm here for. And so, but it's funny when you talk to those weightlifters, they talk about, I'm just taking a day off tomorrow, bro. I'm taking a day off tomorrow, bro. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, God let them. And they even know, like if those guys know that there is a spot for work and rest, man, it's God's economy is written all over the place. It's time for another drawing, don't you think? Okay. Here's kind of how I see it happening. Some of you may be sitting out there and you're going, I'm not in the sweet spot, and I'm not really doing a whole lot. I don't know really what I'm doing. God has more for you. And you all know that, but maybe you just needed me to hear you. You just needed to hear me say that tonight. He's got more for you to do. So get out of the basement and put the Cheetos away. Maybe some of you are just driving hard, and you're in every RSO, and you're on the board for all of those, and you're leading a small group, and you're going on the missions trip, and you're doing all these good things, but you're not doing any of them very well, and you're being robbed of relationships, and you're being robbed of fruit. It's not the way God's economy works. I love what John 10:10 says. It says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Y'all, God's economy is not that he gives us a bunch of rules like Sabbath and work because he wants to keep us in a box. No, he came that we could have life. He came to set us free. And so many of us keep on putting on the yoke of slavery. And it's almost like we just go right back to Egypt and say, you know what? That was better. God's economy is this little narrow path right here. And most of us, we meet Jesus, and all of a sudden, we take a little bit of a turn, and we ramp up, and we take on a bunch of stuff because we want to do good things. And eventually, a lot of us, there's just sort of this rhythm that a lot of us hit the bottom. And we do these big swings of, I was doing all these things, and it didn't work out the way I thought, and then we come down here. And we hit a low spot. God's economy says, hey, get closer to my path. Follow my way. I promise you it's better. It's better. If God is on our side, and God is a God who says there is a rhythm of work and rest, the cool thing that I see that God has done over my 29 years of following him is that when I first started following him, it was really big swings of trying to earn his favor and doing a bunch of good things and then crashing and burning and getting away and where is God, where is God? And then going over here and, okay, not going to go that far and then, okay, but where is God? And this is just sort of, this has been my Christian walk. And my hope for us is that instead of trying to live up to what people think God and Jesus are all about, a list of rules, a list of do's and don'ts, and a life of sin management, could we chuck that stuff? Could we dive in and figure out, God, what's the one thing that you have for me to do? What's the need in the world that I'm best suited to meet? And can we try and rein it in a little bit? Not because we're trying to do less bad things or that we're trying to disappoint him less. No, because God's way is best. Just like the people at GMC said, this is the sweet spot for the GMC Acadia. God is going, hey, Robbie, man, you don't have to be in everything. You don't have to be all things to all people. hey, Robbie, your girlfriend broke up with you and you lost your license. I'm still here, man. I'm with you. I got something I want you to do this summer. Get out of your basement. Hey, Robbie, you're not as cool as other people in your life, so you think, but I've got a plan for you, and I want you to do this. My hope for you is that you can start to do a little bit less dancing. If God is on our side, he's not against you. He is for you. He's not sitting up there with a tally mark keeping track of your sin. He is saying, hey, that stuff in the Bible, it's just the best way to do stuff. Would you stop? Would you stop using crowbars and trying to do too much? Would you stop eating Cheetos and saying, ah, what am I doing with my life? And I'm just waiting for the job to come to me. And would you get up and would you see where God is moving and would you invest? And would you work hard? And then would you rest? I've got two questions for you tonight as the band comes up. Question number one. Are you on one of these spots? Are you over in here and you're lacking direction, you're lacking meaningful things in your life, you're lacking relationships? Guess what? We've got a lot of ways here for you to get engaged and to find your sweet spot. Are some of you, as you're getting into your semester, realizing that you took on more than you could chew? Maybe you need to say no. One of the authors that I follow, a guy named Bob Goff, he quits something every Thursday. Maybe you need to quit something. The word no can be a really holy word. What is that sweet spot for you? So, are you one of these? That's my first question. My other question is, if we are a community of Jesus people who care about other people, do you know someone who's sitting in this room who's on one of those two spots, and you've been watching them do it to themselves, and you know that it's not what God has as their best? And have you not had the hard conversation with them? Now listen, I am not about a place full of judgment. That's what people on the news are saying that we are. Now, but when you are in Christian community with other people and you see someone who's struggling on one side of this or the other, it's our job to step in and to say something. Here's if any, Phil does like a meme every week, right? Here's the meme for the week. If you guys are looking for the quote, some of the best stuff in life comes on the other side of hard conversations. Some of the best stuff in life comes on the other side of hard conversations. Is there someone in this room tonight or someone who's not here because they're eating Cheetos or they're too busy that you know is off, that you need to step in and lovingly say, hey, I love you, but you can't keep this up. You gotta find your thing, and I want to help you do it, and I want to help you get in the rhythm of working and resting. As we worship tonight, I just want you to open up your hearts and your minds to the opportunity of maybe there's something in your life that you need to get on track, or maybe there's someone in your life that you need to help get back on track. The Holy Spirit and hearing the voice of God isn't that hard. It's as we're worshiping and a name comes to mind or something comes to mind, that's it. It's not like rocket science. That's what the Holy Spirit does once you invite him into your life. So let's pray real quick, and then let's open up and see what God has to say. God, thank you for having your own economy that is better than ours, better than what the world has to offer. A lot of us have been taking really big swings in different directions. Would you narrow our path? Would you draw us closer to your heart and your way and your rhythms? Would you reveal to us the areas in our lives where we're not fully pushing ourselves to the potential that you've created in us or in the lives of other people? Would you reveal to us the areas in our lives where we're just constantly redlining it and it's not sustainable and we've just been ignoring the check engine light? Holy Spirit, would you use this time as we worship and as we open up and reach out to you and reflect with you to take action in our own lives and into the lives of other people? And maybe that means getting the guts to have hard conversations, to experience the great things that are inside. We ask this in your name. Amen. That song, because that's the epitome of what we were talking about tonight. God, your creator, the one who wrote your owner's manual, is a good father. And he knows. He knows who you are. He knows how he wired you. He knows where that sweet spot is for you. And if we're being honest, we're not all in tune with that. But we are loved by him. And he wants what is best for us. And it is not a list of do's and don'ts and a bunch of keeping track of sins. It is abundant life of freedom. If some of you are in here and you're going, man, Robbie, I don't know if I'm eating Cheetos. I'm not quite there. I don't know about redlining, but I don't really know what that one thing is, that thing that I have to do, that need in the world that I am best suited to meet. Then if you haven't signed up for Winter Retreat, you need to. Because at Winter Retreat, we put a little more space into the schedule. It's not as much about activities. It's more about a time to sit and ask questions. And we are going to provide a space and the structure needed and some of the questions for you to take to God to go, God, what have you been doing in my life up to this point? The highs and the lows. That if I were to get in line with your economy, what could you do with that? So if you haven't signed up, sign up. If you know someone who is really struggling and doesn't know direction, you need to get them to sign up too. And I look forward to the good Father telling us who we are. Amen? All right. Have a great week, guys.